racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Hi, and welcome into the Grill Room. I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., the pride of the St. Louis golf scene, and our very own golf geek. In fact, you can reach him on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. And Jay, only fitting, we start the show by me wishing you a very happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's been a wild week. You know, we talked in the latter part of 2016 about how, you know, the new schedule was starting in November, kind of changed everything. You look at the beginning of this year, and I think this week moving to Phoenix and the Phoenix Open and all that's taken place, not just on the PGA Tour, but globally. As I told somebody the other day, if only the business and the game of golf were as healthy as the tours, we'd be doing great. But you had a great week last week, I know, being down in Orlando at the PGA Merchandise Show. What was your overall takeaway? It's always an interesting gathering of some of the most important people in the game. And, of course, you caught up with John Daly. But what else did you see, Bob?
Well, I tell you what, Jay, the main thing that I left the PGA Merchandise Show with is the definitive impression how everything is going digital. It is really amazing, and we're going to get to a lot of those products when we discuss them firsthand. But boy, oh boy, it is definitely 2017 is the dawn of the digital world, especially on the golf scene.
Well, and we're seeing it at Normandy Golf Club. In fact, we're getting a new app that's going to allow players to use the GPS to order a burger at number 9 to be ready for them when they make the turn, to do live scoring for tournaments. I'm sure that a lot of those products that you talked about, to the digital and interactive experience that are becoming part of this game, were on display last week in Orlando.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about quite a few of them. One of the most impressive things that we saw, and you wouldn't think this coming from a hat company, but Imperial Hats introduced a new hat called the One Touch. It's an impressive hat that has no panels sewn together. I actually was given one. I wore it with pride. I had more comments on it. I mean, it's amazing. You just take the panels out of a hat, and it has an all different look.
Yeah, that's wild. My friends at Imperial Hats down in Bourbon, Missouri, I think they produce some of the finest caps available, and they're starting to utilize some of that technology, and I can't wait to see some and bring some of those in to the Normandy Pro Shop. You know, we talked about some of the technology, Bob, and I know you saw some things that were that can be used to measure your distance for all the clubs in your bags.
Yeah, one thing, it was the Arcos company, Jay, and what impressed me about this is, let's take somebody that's a 10 handicap, but the measuring devices on these clubs will actually ascertain whether the player is he might be a 5 handicap with his lower irons, he may be a 15 handicap with his driver, but when he puts it all together, he comes up with that 10. But the advantage of that is that you know what aspect of your game to work on. Obviously, you want to work on the area that you're the weakest. I was fascinated by these clubs.
Yeah, you know, when you can break it down that much, and now it's starting to get involved in instruction and, you know, interacting with your coach with videos, and it really is amazing. And I think for, you know, people like yourself that maybe haven't necessarily been caught up in this internet digital era, I'm curious, is it something that excites you? I mean, like a GPS, Bob. I mean, you and I remember when you were lucky to have a 100, 150, and a 200-yard marker on the golf course, and then all of a sudden they start putting them on sprinkler heads, and we couldn't believe it. But now you can sit and talk into a machine or a device or your phone, and it says, Bob, you're 112.5 yards from the hole. Is that the kind of thing you think that people that I think it's great for the younger folks. I hope that some of the older crowd gets into it.
Well, I like the way you lumped me into that older crowd.
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But anyway, they have a device called the Voice Caddy, and you don't have to take anything and aim it at the flagstick and try and get it in the crosshairs. You walk up to your ball. This machine, or this device, I should say, says exactly what you alluded to, Jay. You're 115 yards from the hole. So pretty soon, I don't think we're too far away from a club that hits the ball by itself. So you won't even have to worry about doing anything like that. But I think one of the things you alluded to at Normandy maybe is, you know, there's a program now that's coming out that'll tell you where every golf cart is on your golf course so that bottlenecks can be avoided. And boy, oh boy, they're trying to get it down to that four-hour round. What a godsend that would be for the golf world.
Well, and as you know, it only takes one group to mess up the pace of play. And with the ability to sit in the pro shop with an iPad and have a overview of where all the carts are on your golf course to be able to track it, you know, instead of having a guy just kind of roaming around with Ranger on his cart, now you can specifically identify a problem. And to be honest with you, we've got a policy, Bob, where the first time we ask them to speed up a little bit, the second time we kind of say, you got to speed up a little bit. And the third time is, here's your money back, because it, you know, a tee sheet is a living, breathing organism. And if that 111 tee time goes off with no players in it, it's lost. And I think more and more people are having to look at that as the dollar gets tougher in the golf business. That, to me, you know, we're going to get to a point, Bob, where they're all wrapped together, where you've got the GPS that tells you how far it is, that is sending information back to the clubhouse, that if you want, you're doing live scoring. It's fascinating. I think it's going to take a little time to educate the public and maybe to get some of the kinks out, but that's the wave of the future, is tracking your game, knowing your scores, all that kind of stuff that we used to write in on a book for our handicaps. It's all going to be at your disposal in your hand.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the fact of identifying a problem. Well, I can guarantee you there'll be a problem if you see me pull up with a golf bike. That's right. It's a bicycle that has saddlebag-style golf bag on the back of the bike. No automated golf carts for you, Jay. And boy, oh boy, forget the four-hour round. I'd be plugging in for an eight-hour round if I got on that bike.
Well, again, it's another one of those unique concepts. We saw the skateboard thing that they've tried to do and some places have carried. It's another way that maybe somebody who wouldn't play might play. There's just, I think that's what's interesting, is everybody's looking for a niche to try and bring people into the game. And I don't think we do real well with the Schwinns out at Normandy, but maybe it'll work in Southern California.
It could very well. I'll tell you what'll work anywhere. In the apparel section, we made it a point to go see Galvin Green. They were the outfitters for the European Ryder Cup, and their suits looked absolutely amazing. It's just unbelievable technology. It's all layered. It's a very lightweight outerwear, and you do get a variety of layers to choose from. It not only works, but it really looks great.
Well, and I think that's super. I know, you know, they obviously know what's needed. They deal with a lot more weather than most places in the United States, and they've been over the pond. They've kind of been the leaders on the outerwear technology. And speaking of something that's more prevalent in the UK and in Europe, and really outside of the U.S. are trolleys or pull carts, as they're known here in the States. I remember, you know, my first trip going over to Ireland. You know, so many of the people that are members at clubs in Ireland and Scotland have their own trolley, or the courses have them. It's not as big here in the U.S., but I think more and more as the physical fitness aspect starts to become part of it. I know that Big Max Golf, Bob, has got a new one called the four-wheeler Blade Quattro, and those are huge over there.
Well, they really are. And speaking of Europe, I like the concept down in Australia where you're encouraged to take your pull cart or trolley or whatever you want to refer to it right across the green. It accomplishes two things. It keeps the greens firmer. It shortens the amount of time that you go from point A to point B instead of walking all the way around the green to get where you want to go. I think that's something the USGA may want to take a look at and put it into effect here. I really have been a favor of that. And of course, you talked about the fact that we had an opportunity to go out to a private an affair and meet with John Daly, who's now playing that vertical groove driver. It's just an amazing piece of equipment. And you can check them out at vertgolf.com. Obviously, Jay, the big manufacturers were all there.
Yeah, there's a sense. I think one of the buzzes that came out of the show, and I've got some, I mean, you know, being a social media person, I mean, there was so much stuff on Twitter and Facebook, but I kind of got the feeling the leader in the clubhouse for the biggest buzz down there was that new Callaway Epic driver. That's big. TaylorMade obviously made the big splash with the announcement the Tiger would be playing 13 of their clubs this year, and you never can go wrong with Scotty Cameron and Titleist. So I kind of felt like out of the big guys, those were some of the bigger things.
No, you're right on the money with that assessment, Jay. I will say this much. The big manufacturers have cut down considerably on the size of their booths. You know, they used to be massive on the showroom floor. Now they're a lot more reasonable. But still, there was a definite buzz down at the show. And anybody connected to this wonderful sport of golf can feel real good that the excitement level seems to be back up. And with Tiger on the scene, 2017 may be just a fantastic year for golf.
Well, and I know that you had an opportunity while you were down there, Bob, to interview a number of people. We played your stuff with JD last week, and a little later in the show, we'll hear some of those stories from the merchandise show. By the way, the Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And right now, let's turn to the biggest story of last week, while it lasted. The return of Tiger Woods. Your thought, Jay Randolph?
Well, you know, I think that Tiger is clearly humbled. You know, this wasn't the Hero World Challenge. This was Torrey Pines. This is Torrey Pines South, where obviously he won a U.S. Open and is a tough golf course. I thought that he showed that he was healthy. He, or as healthy as he can be at this point. You know, odd to see Dustin Johnson and Jason Day and him paired together and all three missed the cut. But I think we're in a process here, and we're going to find out about Dubai, and we're going to find out, Bob, about four tournaments in 5 weeks. So I wasn't surprised really by the performance. And I'm kind of taking, like you are, a little bit a wait and see approach leading up to the Masters to see, you know, Peter Costas mentioned it on Saturday during the broadcast. You know, it's not so much the mental game. It's not so much his swing. It's that injury and it's his health. And that's number one right now. I still think we know he can play the game. And he's got to get back, as he said, into tournament golf and a routine. And that's probably why he's playing 4 out of 5 weeks.
Well, I think you're right there. He's leading up definitely to the Masters. Let's listen to Tiger as he assesses his game.
Well, the positives, I hit it much better today. I made a couple little tweaks and changes in my swing and my setup, which was good. And, you know, as I said, we're still rusty as a team together. We hadn't really been out there competing and playing together. And I felt like I made some nice strides, and just wish I could have been playing on the weekend because I really love this golf course. You know, I'm trying to get ready for that first full week in April. And, you know, that's where, you know, eventually I want to have everything come together. So that's the plan. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to win this golf tournament on the weekend, but I have next week.
Well, Jay, you and I have covered him for a long time. I think this is the 20th year of Tiger tweaking his swing, making a few changes. He just never seems to be happy. He certainly wasn't happy when he got to the airport.
Yeah, how about this, folks? If you hadn't heard, we've had a lot going on at airports here in the last couple of days. Tiger had to fly to Dubai on a commercial flight. I mean, he doesn't fly from St. Louis, Missouri to Columbia, Missouri on a commercial flight. Evidently, the Trump protesters prohibited his party from reaching their private jet. So he had to make a run for it to get on a commercial airliner and did it with a few minutes to spare. And to our knowledge, it, just like Bob rarely flies commercial, it's the first time in 14 years that he had to fly commercial. Stewardess, can you get me a soda?
Well, the thing I want to know is when he entered that commercial plane, did he turn right? I certainly hope not. I'm sure he went to the left and got himself a real good seat. Well, once Tiger departed the scene, our attention turns back to the Farmers Insurance Open, and it ended up with a surprise winner.
Bob, you had so many guys in the mix going into that final day and really the back nine, and you weren't sure what was going to happen. But then all of a sudden, this Spanish up-and-coming star, John Rahm, won in dramatic style. Two eagles on the back nine. One was a 35-footer downhill tricky putt on 18 that he was just trying to get close for the birdie. And what a reaction by him. And I'm sitting here watching, and I got on Twitter, and all I put was, wow. I mean, that was, it just shows again. I mean, this is another guy. And you also, you know, you had the situation with some other young players in the mix on that final day. I mean, this has got to be sending some messages to the Spieths, the McIlroys, the Jason Days. What a story John Rahm is. I mean, when you look at the fact that he comes from a small town in Spain, he got a scholarship in the U.S. Somehow he contacts Tim Mickelson, who, of course, is Phil's brother, who was the coach at ASU, and they took a look at him, and they gave him a scholarship, and he won like 11 times his freshman year.
Yeah, and he becomes the youngest winner ever of the Farmers Insurance Open at 22 years old. To me, that is very impressive. Look who his idol is, Seve Ballesteros. I mean, that is just incredible. Why not listen? Let's give a listen now to John Rahm.
Yeah, my idol has always been Seve. Obviously, I grew up in Tiger and Phil era, right? Respecting and admiring both players for what they've done. But my idol, it's always been Seve. I've always tried to emulate what he inspired on the golf course. Not play like him, because it's a little different to the way I like to play, but try to inspire and express the same emotions he used to.
He just sounds like a wonderful guy, Jay, and I really think he's going to be good for the game. I guess the big question, I know he only has one PGA Tour win, but if you're making a wager right now, who's going to win a major first, John Rahm or Sergio Garcia?
My money's going on Rombo. There's no question about it. I mean, that's a hard one, I'm sure, for Sergio to handle. But, you know, Phil Mickelson said after his round on Sunday, as Rahm was starting to make the move, somebody asked him how good a player is John Rahm is. Is John Rahm got the chance to be a superstar? And Phil said, he's already going to be a superstar. I mean, Phil almost could sense what was going on. So this is one of those guys we're going to have to watch with the Matsuyamas and Justin Thomas. And it's just setting up for an incredible major championship season. Well, and now that we've left Torrey Pines, we head to that unique tournament in Phoenix, the Phoenix Waste Management Open, dubbed the greatest show on grass. We'll talk about 16 and some of the headliners that are going to play and just the fun that's had at the Phoenix Waste Management Open when we come back right here on The Grill Room.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I want everyone to know that the Grill Room's official hotel partner is the Kapalua Villas. There's just no place that is better to stay when visiting Maui. You can make your reservations by going to kapaluavillas.com. And when you book a Kapalua Villa, it could be in one of three different areas: the Fairway Villas, the Ridge Villas, or the Bay Villas. And this year we are in the Bay Villas. Beautiful views all the way to Molokai. Whales jumping all times of the day, which we can see very easily from our lanai. It just doesn't get any better.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Just had a lesson and I'm really psyched. This game is easy if you do it right. I got the perfect tips on how to hit the ball. Now all I have to do is remember them all.
Come on. Once again, welcome back to the Grill Room. I'm Bob. He's Jay Randolph Jr. Time now to talk about the Phoenix Waste Management Open. It is one of the most unique, or I guess the most unique, tournament on the scene, all because of the extremely fascinating, entertaining 16th hole, that par 3, completely surrounded by spectators, and really the only true stadium hole in all of golf.
And in a certain way, Bob, I'm kind of glad that we haven't seen this expand and have it at the John Deere or have it at Atlanta or wherever. I think it's kind of its unique thing. This tournament is held the same weekend usually as the Super Bowl. In fact, sometimes the Super Bowl's in Phoenix and this is going on. There's nothing like it. When you're looking at corporations spending $50,000 or $100,000 for a corporate tent on a par 3, who would have thunk it? You and I both been there and seen it's such a great enthusiasm for the game of golf. The players, you know, they get fired up for it. They throw out t-shirts and they talk about their colleges and their nicknames or their wife's name or their kid's name. There's nothing like it in golf, and it's really a fun thing, but this is also a big tournament. And you got some big-time players. You got Jordan Spieth coming. You got the defending champion Hideki Matsuyama, who's been playing as well as anybody, except Justin Thomas, who's here looking for his fourth win. Off his first win, John Rahm, back in the state where he went to college. Phil Mickelson, who we know does so well out there. Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler. What are we going to see from Ricky? Phoenix is the home to many tour guys, as you know, Bob, and it's a home game for a lot of them.
Yeah, it really is. And one other point about that 16th, that 3, part of what makes that work with the booing and the cheering is that it's not a difficult par 3 hole. It's only an 8 or 9 iron. If that was a 2 iron, a 3 iron, it just wouldn't work. And that's why it's germane to that event. They got the perfect hole for it. The players have bought in to what transpires there. They enjoy the cheering. They don't enjoy the booing, but it's all part of the scene, which begs the question, Jay Randolph Jr. There are two tournaments held each year where I have a hard time deciding which tournament has the most spectators that never see a golf shot. One candidate certainly would be Phoenix, because a lot of people go there. They never get out to that par 3 16th. They just wander around. They go to a place called the Bird's Nest. They have a party. They love it. And the second one is the Byron Nelson, where it is incredible how many people go to the Byron Nelson. They never see a golf shot. But at both events, they really have a good time, and the more the PGA Tour can do that, the better it is for the charities who benefit from these events.
Well, and no doubt about it. It's great just to have those numbers there. And like you said, a lot of people just hang in the bird's nest or maybe get out in the morning and watch a player early and then park at the bird's nest. And then in the evening, of course, they got great concerts and stuff like that. I'm a little partial to what I call the Sundress Open, the Byron Nelson. I mean to tell you, on a Saturday or Sunday at Lord Byron's event, there is a lot of pretty people, and it's fun to people watch, and not many of them get out of that tent. But like you said, just to have the presence of those people and talking golf and talking the tour, it's good for the game.
Well, no doubt. One thing I will add to the Sundress Open, certainly it has more high heels than any other event on tour by a wide, wide margin.
Let's take a quick break here on The Grill Room, and when we return, we'll hear some of Bob's interviews from the PGA Merchandise Show.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor, the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60mm golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in the air. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com, that's golphin.com, to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready.
Every shot was straight. The game would be a bore.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Jay Jr. here with the voice of golf, Bob Bubka. As promised, let's hear from some of our favorite products at the PGA Merchandise Show last week. First up, Imperial Headwear's Chad Saladin talks about their new hat, the One Touch.
Chad Saladin, who is the rep for Imperial Headwear, when he calls upon the Normandy Golf Club, where Jay Randolph resides. And Jay, thanks for pointing me towards Chad. We had an interesting discussion, and now I have an opportunity to find out what's the latest and greatest with Imperial.
Hey, first I'd like to say thanks to Jay for sending the show on the road and coming to see us out here at the PGA Show. Much appreciated, and we're thinking of you back there in St. Louis at Normandy.
So what's new? What's exciting? I know you've been around since 1916. You're really the Cadillac of headwear. It's hard to tweak it, but anything new?
Absolutely, yeah. We were currently and recently rated number one in resort golf courses and number one in private golf courses in the U.S. And our newest creation is called the One Touch, and it is a cap, the first of its kind, that is completely without panels. Typically, panels will be sewn around the crown to create the cap. We have a new patented process that creates the crown as the fabric is made, so it's completely clean. There's no panels, and the hat just came out last week. So I'm sure Jay will want to get his hands on that.
One Touch, you heard it first here in the Grill Room. When you go to your golf course, look for an Imperial headwear. One Touch is what you want to put on your head. Thanks, Chad.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bob.
My man Chad Saladin, who helps us out at Normandy Imperial Headwear, based in Bourbon, Missouri. Next, Vertical Groove Golf's managing member, or the man, as he was introduced to Bob, Ruben Hannon, talks about the hot new Vertical Groove driver.
I said, I want to talk to somebody important. They said, well, Ruben's the man. He's the main man, and he's joining us right now. Lots of excitement. John Daly here to demonstrate this club. You guys really have come up with something special.
Well, I mean, we didn't really invent the technology. We're just commercializing it. But vertical grooves on the face of the club are really revolutionizing golf. Golf for the industry has been pretty stale over the last many, many years. No new technologies, moving weights around in heads and calling them different products. But we're really the only new face technology in the marketplace, and the results have been tremendous. John Daly's hitting it. Rocco Mediate's hitting it on tour. And we're getting a lot of support and tremendous results.
You know, Ruben, one thing that impressed me in talking with John Daly, not only the vertical grooves, he's a huge proponent of a smaller head, which allows you to generate more club head speed. And that makes all the sense in the world.
It does. I mean, most of the heads on tour and from, the big manufacturers are 460 cc's. Ours is 450. And to John's point, I mean, he's getting more head speed, and obviously the ball's flying further, and then for the vertical grooves, flying straighter.
And Ruben, I was specific in asking John, it works for him. He's one of the elite players in the world. Would it work for the average player, the 10-15 handicapper? And he said, absolutely.
We wouldn't have commercialized this opportunity if it was just for the pros. I mean, it's all for the amateurs, and most golfers have an outside-in swing, which causes a huge slice, and, the vertical grooves actually catch that slice at the point of impact, and you get a much more forward spin, forward roll, so you're seeing a much more straighter ball flight. So our dispersion rates off the face of the club outpace every other manufacturer, and we have the results to prove it.
I can tell by the excitement in your tone and the look on your face. It seems like we're on the eve of a explosion in the world of new drivers coming to the marketplace.
Well, materials have gotten better. The athletes have gotten bigger and stronger. But again, if you watch the tour today, a lot of the guys are still hitting it further, but they're hitting it further out of bounds. And vertical grooves really allow you to hit it straighter. I mean, you look at most dispersions from companies are like this. Ours is more like this. So you actually play from the fairway more often. And for amateurs all the way up to the professional, it's a great new club for you. I mean, you don't have to change clubs every year if you have a vertical groove, unless we come out with something new.
Well, they said he was the main man by those answers. I agree with that title. Hey, Ruben, thanks for stopping
by. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And now, Christian Nilsson, the CEO of Galvin Green, high-performance golfware for serious golfers.
We're always looking for that perfect product. If it's bad weather outside, I think you're going to want to wear Galvin Green. Talking to Christian Nilsson, the CEO of Galvin Green. I know you outfitted the Ryder Cup team at Hazeltine. The European side looked marvelous in their gear. And I thought they had a little edge as far as the outerwear goes.
Well, they had. We just introduced the newest, hottest fabric there is. It's a three-layer piece from Gore-Tex with a outer fabric and inner sort of C-knit, circular knit fabric. It's no really secret about it, but it's a Japanese circular knit that is inside, and which gives the product extremely light, breathable, packable. We're very proud of introduced that for the players. No one else has worn it on the golf course before, so. And the feedback from the players, from the caddies, from the officials, from the whole team was great.
It's really for the serious golfer, and you don't do other sports, you don't do other things with this.
Galvin Green is golf, only golf and nothing but that. So, and Galvin Green, we all golfers within the company. It's a small company with a big brand, that is what we're saying. We're very proud of being involved in such event like Ryder Cup. We introduced Galvin Green on the US market now. It's in 2013. Slowly, we're getting there. So this is the third year on the merchandise show.
One last thing before I let you go. One of your mission statements is never compromise. What does that mean to the consumer?
Well, that means that in every detail we select for the garment, for the apparel, for the product, we never compromise in the selection of fabric or details that is in there. Details makes the product.
Well, it's certainly high praise from everyone that got to see the equipment at Hazeltine, and we'll be looking forward to seeing it, I'm sure, in France in 2018.
Yeah, that will be a good one. Yeah, I played it. Golf National, fantastic arena. It's a stadium course, and we're really looking forward to that.
Well, we certainly enjoyed our visit here in the Galvin Green booth. I just wish it was raining inside here so we could really see how this outerwear works. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Arcos, a most revolutionary golf stat tracking device. It can certainly improve your game. Here's Bob with Colin Phillips.
Sometimes you come across a product that really gets you excited, and I really don't know the full story. So I've come to Colin Phillips. He's vice president for Arcos Golf. And for the layman right now, Colin, what does Arcos do for a golfer?
So Arcos Golf tracks your golf game, every shot that you take on the course, then digests all the information that we gather from that golf game, breaks it down and gives it back to you as actionable information so that you can improve as a golfer, have more fun, just generally get better.
What does it do? Does it attach to your body? Does it attach to the golf club? Or explain that portion.
This is the Arcos 360 product. It is a set of 14 sensors, ultralight, low-profile sensors. They attach each one to the golf club. There's a special one for the putter. You pair those one time with your smartphone so we know which sensor is on which club. Then every time you take a shot with that club, it records it on your smartphone. Your smartphone has a GPS, records the location, the club that you shot with, all the way around the course, tee to green, from your driver to your putt.
And when you complete the round, you can look at the results of what you did that day and kind of analyze where maybe you're better at one area and weaker at another?
Absolutely. So you can look at your round hole by hole, because we save the we overlay the shots onto the holes on a satellite map. So you can see every shot that you've taken. You can kind of look at where you've been, and for each round that you play. So one of the most interesting things that we do is we break your handicap down. You know, most golfers say, "Oh, I'm an 8 handicap," or "I'm a 12 handicap," but it's just one number. What we do is we break that down at each facet. We give you a driving, approach, chipping, sand, and putting handicap, so you can tell. You know, you might be a 10 handicap with a 15 driving handicap and a 5 sand handicap. You don't need to work on your sand game. What you need to do is work on your driving game, because that's the thing that's bringing your handicap up. So instantly, just by breaking it down into 5 facets, we can kind of tell you where to concentrate, where to get a lesson. You know, go to your club pro, go work on driving.
All right, you got our listeners excited. Where can they buy this?
So we sell it at a number of different retail stores. So we are in Apple stores. It's a variety of golf retailers. We also sell it online at our site, which is arcosgolf.com.
Colin Phillips, thank you for your time.
And finally, Neville Hong tells Bob how his voice caddy will give him instant advice and feedback.
I have to be honest. I've seen various forms of GPS systems. But now I'm talking to Neville Hong, and he's with the voice caddy. And briefly, for our listeners, Neville, why is your system better?
Well, it's simple to use. That's what it is. Just press a button anywhere on the golf course, anywhere in the world. It's got 35,000 courses preloaded. Simple press of the button, it'll tell you distance to the front, center, and the back of the green. You can also measure your golf shots as well, too. If you're curious to see how far your golf ball went, after you hit it, you just press the button once, walk over to it, and you'll know the distance, how far you hit it.
So it's actually a voice that's talking to you. You don't have to read out. You don't have to aim at the pin, which was always very difficult to do. An actual voice will give you the information that you desire.
Correct. No more aiming, no more having to take a big cell phone or a GPS out of your pocket. You just put on the hat, press the button, and you don't even know it's there until you need it.
One of the impressive things you mentioned, Neville, is 35,000 golf courses around the world. So you show up at a strange course, you activate it, and you got all the information you need.
Correct. We have a dedicated course data team that's mapped out all of these courses across the world with some pinpoint accuracy.
All right, we got some listeners now that are interested. They want to get a voice caddy. What would you recommend they do?
Well, they can go to any golf retailer or go to voicecaddy.com.
Voicecaddy.com. Help your game. Neville Hong, thank you for your time.
Now that you're up to date on what's going on in the world of global golf, that's it for this week. The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as well as the veterans, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course, Talk Sport 2.
So for Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., the birthday boy, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.